These are the letters, first from Charles Lutz of Richfield, Minnesota, talking about the October issue's Discipleship in a Democracy. He says, this issue's focus on political involvement by Lutherans is most welcome. Michael Cooper White's article is especially helpful, stressing that political activity by believers is a central way of showing neighbor love. It's essential that we obey separation of church and state, which is denying the marriage of two institutions, but that can never be equated with separation of the faithful from public life. We need more of the latter among U.S. Lutherans and other people of faith. Connie Lord of Phillipsburg, Montana writes, how should Lutherans be involved in politics? The Lutheran Church should not be involved in politics. Church leadership needs to focus on theology and morality, not politics. Individual members can engage in politics on their own. Many members left the church when leadership took a political position with which they did not agree. That has occurred in the past and will continue. Lieutenant Colonel Keith Mushinsky, a retired chaplain from Eagle River, Alaska, writes, no ifs, ands, or buts. Lutherans should be involved in politics. If not us, who? Although we can already hear the who in politics at all levels of government, we shouldn't continue to allow other Christian voices to be heard in place of ours, voices that exclude those we believe are included in God's grace. And speaking of other, similar Christian voices filling a void, that's what's happening in our military chaplaincy. There's always a need for Lutheran chaplains, perhaps today more than ever. But if not us, then that conceded shortfall will be filled by Christian chaplains with a much more nationalistic calling. This from John Broadwell of Seneca, South Carolina, talking about the October issue's article, Liberation from Hypocrisy. I was quite disturbed about a perspective statement in this article. The author referenced a congregation celebrating Veterans Day during a Sunday worship service with a color guard carrying an American flag into the sanctuary. He viewed this as somehow sharing God with a second God, an American flag, honoring our veterans, many of whom died in the defense of our country's values, including the right to worship as we choose, in no way implies worshiping the flag. It seems to me that this congregation was appropriately honoring our veterans and thanking God for their sacrifices. This from Reverend Kathy Wicks of West St. Paul, Minnesota, also talking about an October issue, For Mothers of Mission. Thank you and thanks be to God for this welcome article. Our church had the resources and imagination to reach beyond limiting women in professional roles before the ordination of women. Susan Farley and Carl Koistar opened a window for us to see how the earlier church made use of those who were called in 1946. Thank you, Bernice Severson and your sisters, who helped to prepare the way for many of us. This from Kathleen Wind, also talking about an issue from October, filmmaking and friendship. I watched the film My Friend Carl. What a wonderful story and description of a journey that describes transformation and hope. First of all, Pastor Hoffner had the intuition that Carl Smithson, a newer member of his congregation, would make a good subject for a film by his young parishioner, Colin Shuren. From that suggestion came a film that shows the power of advocacy, the possibility that one can change one's life, and the friendships that are made along the way. Carl's journey, with all of its twists and turns, is remarkable, and the fact that Colin so ably transforms it into a memorable film is something for which we can all be grateful.